Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and hotep. Welcome to the Care to Read Room. You've got your Omega 7, Zan Nu, here to serve you. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you to the eve of the election day. I'd like to say welcome to my old friends and Habari Ghani to my new friends. Come on in and have a seat. We're about to start off our session with a discussion. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, this is the eve before the election, and it should be drama all over the place. These airwaves should be lighting up. If you haven't locked that dial in, Lil G, lock it in at 646-478-0270. We are about to make history in this country, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what you came to do, but I know that we came to talk about people utilizing their right to cast their vote. And we're going to bring you up to date on the prior debates, and we're going to be talking about who won the first ring and who is currently the running favorite in the election. And we're going to be talking about the Democrats and the Republicans, so why don't you come in and have a seat? And it's your choice who you choose to vote for, but it's our right to talk about what the issues are. And what are we up against, and what should we be looking at? Now, as I told you, we're talking about nature's remedy. We're going to be giving a remedy and a solution for the end times. Everyone should understand that it is our inalienable right to be able to vote. It is not just a right. It's an obligation. And for those of you youth out there who are contemplating and double-minded about what you're going to do, get your affairs in order, get your paperwork and your documents and your IDs in order, because some of us are casting absentee ballots like I did. When you know you're not going to be in town to vote and you want your vote to count, go in a little bit earlier. It's a little bit too late for that for some people now that we're getting ready to come up on the voting date. However, you need to go home and lay out a plan for yourself. Who you're going to be voting for your educators, as well as your judges and your president. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Why don't you hold tight to your seat? We're going to be talking to Professor Helen Harris. She's going to drop by to give us her two cents. And if she doesn't, we're going to go right on with the conversation as usual. You know how we do it in this classroom. We don't debate over who shows up. We go right ahead with our discussion. But if she should drop by and add her two cents in, that'll be all the better. So why don't you get yourself ready? Because, see, we have to know that we can't do anything in our own strength. It is the way that we were brought up. And the things that we have to remember is that there's nothing going to happen in this world unless you make it happen. And we're going to make it happen this evening, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned. I'll be right back at you in the air. And it looks like we're going to have a little bit of problem here, but I'm going to put you on hold. Stay tuned. We'll be right back at you in the atmosphere. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you and ask you to lock that dial in and give us a call at 646-478-0270. Why don't you call in, Lil G? We're opening up our phone line today to talk about our obligation and our commitment to get out there and vote tomorrow. And we're going to take a little time to do our ritual that we normally do. And this is a very important ritual tonight. On the eve of the election, it's very important that we should petition our Orishas as well as Oladulamon Re, that's right, our higher self, the God who lives within us, and also Ori. It's very important that we should acknowledge those ancestors who have died and who are yet in the lagoon who were fighting for us so that the doors would open, so that we have the right to be unmolested, to walk down that hall, to walk up those county steps, to be able to stand in line, to put our ballot in the box so that it would count. And it's a very important night, and it's very important that we should have rituals, and we should have procedures that we go through, because we're talking about a ballot that not necessarily has to count, but we have to make our decision beforehand so that the Almighty God will acknowledge our efforts, and because of our sacrifice, that things will be done and favor will be given to us. So tonight we ask for favor for President Obama. We ask for favor for his family. We ask for favor for the Vice President. And we ask that he would give us the fortitude and give us the support. And we ask that the ancestors would stand with us. So will you bow your heads with me as we get in position of prayer? Father God, we come to you unmolested today, able to speak out against the injustice of preventing African Americans from voting. We thank you that we are not molested tonight and we can go boldly before the throne and cast our ballot. We thank you that we are able, and every able body that can stand and walk through those doors of those courthouses will be able to get up in that great getting up morning and go and cast their vote. We ask that the young men and women who have now turned 18 years old will soon be prompted through the night to be reminded that somebody died in their place for them to vote, and that they will get an unction to go in tomorrow and put their vote in, and their affairs will be set in order with their IDs and their proper information that they need. We ask that favor will be given to Obama. The favor will be given to him. We ask that not only counting the ballots will make a difference, but we ask that you will give him favor because of the job he has already done. Not the one that he promises to do, but the job he has already done. And Father, we ask that you will lift his spirit up and put him on high where he belonged, like Moses once stood on a rock. And the people said, Moses, 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 lift your arms so the people will be encouraged. So I say, Obama, lift your arms so the people will be encouraged. And as we stand behind Obama, may all that he has done, Father, come before you, and may you be able to quickly make a decision and give him the authority he needs to run this race, Father. Let him run this race swiftly, and may those states that are in doubt stand behind him. And remembering the Medicare work that he's done, remembering the student loans where he has collaborated those student loans and condensed them, remembering the work he's done in the war when he brought the soldiers home, remembering the work he done in Ohio with the car dealerships, remembering the work he did, Father. Let it flash before you and let the good deeds go forward, Father. And don't let him go unforgotten. And, Father God, don't let his good work be spoken of as evil. And, Father, no matter what happens after tomorrow, we're still on top. But, Father, you know that this world is coming to a close as the way that we know it. You know that new things are coming. So today we talk about welcoming in the school of change. We know that Obama represents change, and we all need change. And help us to help Obama tomorrow as we get out there and put our votes in. And as we begin to stand and rally tonight on a victory, I say. And I say to God be the glory, and we all say amen. And this is a very important night, ladies and gentlemen. We're just going to recast and go back over some of the debates and what has happened in the past and what we've noticed in those debate rooms. I just want to bring up the first debate that initially was done when the verdict was out that Obama had not succeeded and he was rather passive in his debate. Now, I think that possibly that can be attributed to the fact that he is a gentleman and he was not going to exert himself to push in any direction, but his passiveness may have been observed, but his humbleness wasn't pointed out. The humbleness that he displayed, eventually he was exalted in due time. And as you know, when he came back on that second debate, he more than rose to the level of the occasion. And if he rose to the level of the occasion, it's because he went back to school and he did his homework. He had information and knowledge on topics that his opponent didn't have. He was well-read on topics, and he even pointed out inadequacy in Mitt Romney, and he asked the media to go back and research it to clarify any inadequacy that Mitt Romney may have alluded to. And it came back under several circumstances that Mitt Romney had changed his position. Once forming a position on certain topics, he had fumbly changed his position on many topics And in changing his position, it made him look like he was not consistent in his belief. And you cannot be swaying or wobbling. You have to be consistent in whatever thoughts you tend to go with. And one of the things that Obama proved in that second debate was that he had consistency. And people had to look at that and say, we need stable and able bodies to carry this country, especially when it comes to our troops and to our regime of war. We have to be stable, and we have to know what we're talking about. And if we don't know what we're talking about, we could easily make the wrong decision. And as Obama took Mitt Romney through the third debate and explained to him what war was all about, and literally explained to him that when you make a decision to bring funds in for the military, you have to know where those funds are going to come from, and you never give more funds than what is requested. It sounds as if he was being rather generous in giving all the money towards war when it wasn't necessary. Obama has pointed out several incidents where Mitt Romney was not correct, and he had colored his statement somewhat, until the news reporters went out and researched and checked the data and checked the actual log of conversations and words that Mitt Romney had previously given, and they found him out to be, once again, inconsistent. Inconsistency has ran the rampant gamut of this whole election and debate. Being consistent in what you said yesterday, it has to fly tomorrow. One of the things that Mitt Romney talked quite a bit about was taking our business and transporting it overseas and how he was against it. Yet still in the same breath, Obama pointed out many incidents where Mitt Romney was involved in some of the businesses in China and the trade. Once again, inconsistency. So as Obama began to allow Mitt Romney to take his statements and to turn his own statements around, he didn't have to turn them around for him. Mitt Romney did that on his own. And to me, personally, it looked as if someone asked Mitt Romney to run, but they didn't brief him over the war, and they didn't brief him over the situation in Ohio. Now, they both have to win Ohio. They both need votes from Ohio, and I think Obama is the favorite there because he did go in and borrow money to set the record straight about the car dealership and all of those tradesmen. He went in and saved the day, even though he had to take money from somewhere else to do it. He did it because it meant saving jobs and creating jobs, whereas right now, we know Mitt Romney has got to fight real hard to win that state. Excuse me. My question is, in the state that you're in right now, where does he stand? Where does Obama stand? If you are standing between that vote that Obama needs, don't withhold your vote. Get out and put your vote and your ballot in there. Because truly, this is going to be the people's race right now. And whatever happened tomorrow will make all the difference in the world because we're coming up on a new millennium and this system will be going out. That's right. So it will be a new day. It will be a change for whoever gets in office tomorrow. It's going to be a change because 2012, December the 21st, will make its presence known with the change of society and the way we do business and the way we've known things in the past. It will change. Now, wouldn't you like that change to roll in around the time that Obama will be taking his inauguration and doing the speech and taking his seat? Wouldn't that be a great day and a great getting up morning office in the White House? Now, I'm not pulling any punches here. Everybody know I am Democrat. And it's okay to determine and say where you stand at. It's all right. And at this late date in the game, you have a lot of people out of work. So unemployment is a great issue. Not only unemployment, but you have a problem with our young people getting out of college, having astronomical financial loans, and not being able to find employment to reciprocate the types of grants and loans or the types of loans that they've taken out. And the types of loans that they've taken out do not equate to the kind of jobs they need to pay these loans back. So that's a big issue. We have the Medicare issue and the Medicaid issue. Will we still have funds for the Medicare and Medicaid? Then we also have the issue of whether or not Social Security will be around to assist us middle-aged people who are looking to draw our SSA. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't say SSI. I said SSA. The money that we've actually put into the system belongs to us. SSI is for those who did not work, who are dependents, who need funds, and because of their disability are usually given money out of the pot for SSI for those dependent people who have no income. Now, this country has got to be set back on high. This country has got to be set in a position where we can financially find the middle way. Yes, we owe money out. Yes, we owe China, and we owe many other countries as well. America has a deficit to pay. But at the same time, you've got countries and cities running on deficits. But remember now, we do have Africa, and that's why America is saying the United States of Africa. And if we are aligning ourselves with a rich country that has substance, guess what? We inherit all of those assets and those minerals and every one of those resources we inherit. And don't think that we're poor if we attach to Mother Africa. That means we have the ability to have the same resources and the same level of abundance. Now, Obama's going to need our help. He's going to need a lot of fellows. And how many of you out there consider yourself a fellow? If you are, raise your hand. Because I don't know if you've been reading or not, but Obama's been working feverishly to start a program called Pathway. And the Pathway program is for recent college graduates and for college graduates who are, and for college students who are still in school who would like to do an internship. That program is available. And it was just signed off on this July, and it was put into effect where you can go in if you're a college graduate or if you're currently in school and apply to do an internship, and that's between 1 year and 4 years. And if you do well and if they decide to keep you there on that intern, you can stay up to 4 years. These are brand-new jobs that he's creating. So people say that there are no jobs out there. Well, he's creating some. And if these companies want to get a discount and have their employees paid for, the government is paying for those people to come in. And those people are getting the same type of salary that they would normally get if they took any other professional job. These are professional jobs I'm talking about, not just blue-collar jobs. Now, Obama's going to need our help in many different areas in the education system. He's going to need our help with those teachers, and the unions are not going anywhere. I'm here to tell you, teachers, you get behind your union reps so that we can keep the unions abreast and alive, because without unions, we do not have good institutions. The unions help us to stay strong. And it's very important that we make sure, teachers, that our union reps are strong and that they're not going to dissolve themselves. Because if we allow the unions to go out, you can say goodbye to adequate schools. Now, I don't know if you were a member of the union or a union rep in your school, but I was. You need to learn all of the rules in the union book, and you need to be able to write a grievance and to assist and aid the teachers that need to write grievance, and you need to stand behind those laws to reinforce them. Now, I'm talking to you teachers out there. You teachers out there have no business having a voter's registration card and you're not voting. I'm telling you right now to get up and get yourself ready ahead of time so you can get out there bright and early before you have to go to school and get your votes in. Because when we went out door to door looking and talking to teachers, we found that there were many teachers who were not even registered on any roster to vote. Shame on you, teachers. I'm going to get on you. Yes, I am. Because as a recent and previous union rep, I would definitely tell you to exercise your right to vote. And I'm telling you that now, because now is the time. We don't have very much time left, but you can get up early enough to get over there to vote. Now, let's talk a little bit slower. I want to calm myself down, and I want to take a short station identification, and I would like to call you into this house to be a part of what we're doing, because it's very important that you should be a part of what we're doing. And I know people don't want me on this airways, but this is my time. Don't take away my time, and don't try to do anything that is desperately wicked, because guess what? The ancestors are watching, and they're in this place, and they're going to permeate every courthouse and every voting area to make sure that no deviant behaviors go forth. And it's very important that you act accordingly, and you don't act out of the norm, because this man is divinely guided. I don't care what you say. Obama is divinely guided. Everything that could come against him, every tool, every object that has tried to come against him has been laid low. Why do you suppose that? Because it's his time. He has been predestined for this moment. And sometimes you just have to give up and give out and give in and know that God is operating. And God is operating on his behalf. And you must understand where God is operating and where he's predestined something, all you can do is honor the man. So why don't you honor the man today? And why don't you step forward and be able to get behind him if you can't do anything else? Now, I'm going to settle down a little bit. Now, these airwaves are jumping here and there. I know why. I know exactly why. But I will say this much. We're on this airwave for a purpose. And we've been brought on here because there's people that need to hear what we got to say. Now, let's get back on the tradesmen. Let's talk a little bit to the tradesmen. I know you're busy. Excuse me. I know you're out there working and you don't have very time. If you're a tradesman and if you're a professor, I tell you to get up early and get over to those voting booths and get your credentials together, your birth certificate, your place of residence, your ID, your driver's license. Get all those things in order. All of you youngsters, my question to you, you're 18 years old. You finally got a driver's license. Now it's time. It's time for you to be obligated to vote. If your address has changed, go over early and let them know that you have a certificate. Go over and utilize your right to vote. It's very important. Now, Professor Harris is not going to be with us. I don't see her coming on. And she must be out there working hard with the election. She just came back off of the campaign trail in Milwaukee. They went to Milwaukee to get those people up and to shake them up and get them ready to vote. And she told me they had one time up in Milwaukee. Milwaukee is where about 2% of the African Americans are, and those votes are very necessary in Milwaukee. I sure hope every one of those people who are conscious gets up and go out and vote tomorrow. Now, I want to also say this to the tradespeople, the nurses. Nurses, I want you to get out there and get your hands, make a difference, because Medicare can be paid and consequently you can be paid. It's very important that we understand Obama cannot do it by himself. It's going to take the professionals as well, those professors, those teachers, doctors, and lawyers. It's going to take all of your votes, not just the tradespeople, but it's going to take your commitment to looking at what Obama has already done. He brought Osama in, and people don't want to acknowledge that. He did bring him in, and he has decided to bring our men home from the war like he said he would. We have to look back on all the things that he has done and the commitment he has made to a job well done. And we have to give the man his prompts, and we have to acknowledge him. We have to know this. No matter what his religion is or his persuasion of education is, he has made a commitment to serve this country. And a lot of young men have not stepped up. He's not an old man, but a young man who has stepped up. And he's done the best he could with what he had. This country was turned upside down before he got the office and the election. We must understand, you don't fix things overnight. You fix things when you delegate people in the proper position to aid and assist you. Now, if you are on Obama's cabinet and you're out there, you need to be supporting your president and being a part of changing things. We're talking about change in the election. We're talking about doing things a little bit differently. In the White House, things are going to be done differently. You got a different culture in the White House. If you allow him to lead, he will probably do the job better than any president we've ever had. He wants to align himself with Africa. Let him do it, because Mother Africa certainly has the resources that they can aid us in our inadequacy. All of our urban cities right now are suffering. They're suffering. You see the same thing, a housing project, a liquor store, a gambling area, casinos. And you see our Native Americans who are being well taken care of because they have claimed their sovereignty. They're ruling in their areas. African Americans, it is our turn. It is our time. We've got to get over the grain house, and we've got to take ownership and rulership of our own communities, and we've got to govern ourselves. We can no longer have half of our young men locked up in prison, and now a great percentage of our young women. We can no longer have a system that continues to go down the drain, that takes our young people down the drain. That has to stop. That's why we're calling for a change in the urban setting, a change in the hood. We're calling for a change in the schoolhouse. We're calling for a change in the police force, a change in the courthouse and in the legal system. We're calling for a change, Obama. We're calling for a change. Will you help us make that change? We want to see that change. Young people are looking for a change in the job system. We're looking for a change in the ability to become craftsmen. We're looking for a change. We don't just want lip service. We want a change. And we're going to help you make that change, Obama, if you just bring in those young people who have ideas, who have opportunities to make a change for you. Some of you old folks are going to have to move out of the way if you're not about change. And if you are about change, then pass the baton and lend your helping hand. Because right now, this system is set on the verge of wobbling. And we've got to stabilize things in all of our affairs. It is set up right now where we've reached a boiling point in all categories. And it's very important that we understand that the world right now is looking at the United States of America. Can we do it? Will we be able to do it? Will we be able to stabilize our financial affairs and stop borrowing from other countries? Will we be able to lend and not borrow? Will we be able to stabilize our gang problem, our problems with our school system? They're looking at us and hoping and praying that we will be able to overcome this. And we can only overcome this with proper leadership. And the only way we can have proper leadership, we've got to put the right man in who is a stable-minded man. A stable-minded man is what we need, because a double-minded person is unstable in all of their affairs, and we cannot afford for someone who is double-minded and unstable to be in the office of the President of the United States, because we have to walk together, and how can one or two walk together unless we all agree? It doesn't matter if Obama's a black man and part white man. That means that he has a neutral position. White and black are going to have to come together alike and vote this man in for the benefit of the whole, so that our whole system will do better, because he has empathy for blacks as well as whites. He has obligations to blacks as well as whites, not just for the black man. It's very vital, Caucasians, that you understand we're not just trying to get him in because he's a black man. We're getting him in because he's the right man, the man for the job that's stable and able-minded and ready to be courageous. He's a hero, and I love you, Obama, for being a hero. He's one that stands on what he believes and believes what he stands on. He doesn't bite. He doesn't slide backwards because he's afraid of what somebody's going to say and why somebody wants to put him in his back pocket. He can't be bought. He is a full-fledged man, a gentleman, and I'm glad that he represents our country. and I'll stand behind him in anything he does because I know he has the right mind of the people. And I'm asking you to stand with him tomorrow. Will you stand with him? Will you stand with Obama tomorrow? Because he stands for a cause, ladies and gentlemen, and we all have to stand with him. And if we will stand with him tomorrow, we can stand with him forever. And we can stand with him when the drums come forward. We can stand with him when the rain comes down. We can stand with Obama. And we can stand with him. We run with him tomorrow. We will walk with him in the eternity. Ladies and gentlemen, I do believe if he allows you to stand with him tomorrow, he'll allow you to find jobs and have jobs if that's what you desire. But we got to ask for something more than just jobs. We got to ask for a plan for this nation. We got to ask for a commitment of what we can do to turn things around. Things have been torn up for a long time. It's time that you let Obama get things back in order again. It wasn't him that tore them up. He didn't turn this world upside down. When they handed this world to him, it was already destroyed. When you brought this man in, you knew he had the tools to fix things. Now let him be the carpenter that he is and let him start the process of mending and fixing our country. Because right now it was completely destroyed when he received it. And it takes a process. It takes time for the world to get set back into place. And if you can stand patiently and help him tomorrow, in making that vote, I believe he will give you the opportunity to watch him swiftly knit this country back together. We can do it. I know we can. Yes, we can. We can do it, ladies and gentlemen. I know we can do this, and I'm saying to you that if you allow Obama to do it and stand with him, we can all make this thing happen. I know we can. And those of you who are fretting over what's been happening, do not fret in well-doing. Obama has done the best he can with what he has, and he has fixed a lot of things. Do not be persuaded by those who have lied on him and turned his words upside down. Do not be persuaded by the falsehoods that have been out there. You must research for yourself. And you utilize all your research and make the right decision tomorrow because our lives are dependent on it. Your children's lives are dependent on it. And you must understand that these educational loans that our children are getting, they are getting so many loans to try to find that job that's going overseas. Help us to keep our jobs here in the United States so that we can provide jobs for our people. And Obama can do the job he has to do. Help Michelle Obama to help her husband, because she is a two-for-one because of the ability for her to rule with her husband. We must keep the two of them in office because they are working machines, and we need people who are ready to work and ready to step out front and be our leaders and to step out front and to take the blows for us, because they certainly have taken some blows for this United States of America. Every one of our urban countries right now is financially on the verge of bankruptcy. And we've got to get ourselves out of this economic status of bankruptcy. And we got to get sovereign again. And the way you do that is you jumpstart America by getting people spending and getting jobs out there and getting these young people money in their hands so they can circulate that dollar more than one time in their community. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but I'm looking for change. I want change to come tonight. I want it to come into your household tonight. I want you to be able to see that change for yourself and that this election is a different one. It's not the same that we've seen in the past. Your voting procedures are going to be different. Tomorrow you're going to see a lot of angry people out there. Do not be dismayed by those angry people. If you meet somebody with aggression, meet them with an open hand so that they'll see that your heart is right and you can change their mind. You can change them by the way you reverence yourself around them. Do not go to these voting booths with anger in your heart, with antagonistic behaviors, because it's not what is represented by Obama. Go out there and govern yourselves accordingly, because there will be wicked people in high places. Remember, we're dealing with institutions, and with institutions, we can change things if we meet them with an open hand and with the attitude that we are coming in peace. And as we come in peace, represent your communities well. But know this, that in the end times, we are going to see a lot of desolate things. We are going to be disenfranchised with what we see. But do not be dismayed by what you see, because the outcome and the favor says we win. In the end, it says we win. And we're at the end of this chapter. Revelation has already come full circle, and we're at the end. And in the end, it says we win. Now, if Obama won that election and the last election, he will win this one too. But it depends on if you want it bad enough and that if you can get out there to support him. I know you can. I know you can. I know you can get that vote out, and I know you can stand behind him. Good or bad or indifferent, stand behind him. Because he's done it for us before, and he's brought this country together. He's brought black, white, Jews, and Gentiles together. And never before have you seen one black man brought that many people together under the one cause of us coming up under one nation, under a groove, one nation under God. He's brought us together. And somebody has got to bring all nations together, all nations, all races, all ethnic people together. Because we are not an island. We all have to survive together. And if we're going to survive together, we have to bring all denominations of people together, white, black, or green. Don't look at these people because they're rich and give them the authority to reign over you because of their finances. I want you to let the least of them reign. Let the little child reign if you have to, but let the least of them reign and judge them by their heart condition, not by the content of their wallet, but by the content of their character. And Obama represents good character, good judgment. Iwatelu, he's going to help mend our broken hearts. I know he is. So why don't you let him do it for you? I'm going to tell you one more time, young people, it is your time now. Stand with Obama because he stood with you. Go out and get that vote out there, and don't make excuses for why you can't get out there. Take some time off of work if you have to and get out and press those ballots and get the vote out. Because Obama family, Michelle and Obama, are depending on you young people to support them tomorrow. It can happen. I know it can. And we'll rally together, and we'll shout together, and we'll celebrate together afterwards. I promise you, in this room, we will acknowledge what God has done, and we will be grateful that God has shown favor. Once again, God will show favor, and he will elevate Obama, and we will be able to fix this country so our people can stand proud once again. One nation under a God, bringing us together under one name, and we can make that difference. So why don't you get out there? Why don't you go out there tomorrow? Why don't you even volunteer if you're off tomorrow? Take some time off and be a part of the solution instead of a part of the problem. I don't know about you, but I'm getting ready to be a part of a great thing to support Obama in any way I can here in the state of Indiana. I don't know what state you're in. I'm going to call them out. The state of Alabama, are you ready? The state of New Jersey, are you ready? The state of Ohio, are you ready? The state of Louisiana, are you ready? The state of Texas, are you ready? The state of New York, are you ready? The state of Georgia, are you ready? Get your votes out there and get ready. Ohio, I know you're ready. Wisconsin, I know you got to be ready. If you are ready, shout with me, I'm ready. I'm ready. And if you are ready, get out there